Monitoring, we have a title and we're calling it In This World We Are Called to Be Lights. In this world we are called to be lights. And as we're going to look at this, and it seems that the Lord is giving quite a bit about this on and off at the moment, of course this light that we're called to be is indeed the light that lives in us, the Godhead who lives in us. That is the light. It's not our mere light, but it's the light that we have of the new birth being joined to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where that light comes from, as he too was the light of the world. But we're basing our teaching tonight on Matthew chapter 5 and verses 14 to 16. Matthew chapter 5 verses 14 to 16. And here it's in the context of what Jesus speaks about, that we are the salt of the earth and also we are light. And he says, as we take it up in verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So the last verse shows that this light that shines through us is also very practical. It means that our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is producing those works of faith, and not the other way round, where many are trying to be good and trying to do good works to show that they are Christian and walk with God. That is not how it works. It comes as a result of faith and being born again. Our good works are as a result of our belief, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is where the light shines. So we need to remember that. Now we know that Jesus calls himself the light of the world, and so are the disciples also. So he's not only the light of the world, but you in your life, walk and ministry are to be an example of that also. As we're told in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Well, that's quite a working of the Holy Spirit. is it not, that he can and will work that in and through our everyday lives, that we may be blameless, harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. That again can only be the empowerment, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that can achieve and work such a walk in your life and my life. Why is there emphasis on this? Well, simply because Satan is the accuser of the brethren. In the Authorized, it actually calls him a slanderer. And of course we know the story of Job, where he's always trying to find fault with us. He's there to blame us. He's there to present before God your failings, your faults, and so forth. But thank God that we are washed and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, as none of us have any hope at all. Not that we use that as an excuse to pardon sin or weakness, but the fact that it keeps us standing before God, righteous and in boldness. And that is the point. And that is why the overcomers in this last day overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of the testimony, and love not their lives even unto death. That is the calling in these last days for God's people. So, are we lights of the world, or are we lights in this world? You see, so much of Christendom reflects the world. It reflects its worldliness, its shallowness. And that is the tragedy that hits so much of Christendom. And many Christians are very cavalier about that. It doesn't seem to be a problem. It doesn't seem to be a problem that the church isn't really that light that it should be in the world. Well, if we're concerned about this, then often, as we know, it starts with me. We look to our lives. We look to self, each of us, and say, start with me, Lord. Because that is how churches change. All the while that we're looking to others who are not walking like they should be, or to whatever, will never really work. It's how I am walking before Almighty God. And that is where change comes. And the only way that change will ever come is when we start to bow our knees in humility before Almighty God. Because that is how then the devil gets off our back. There's so much pride in the house of God today that God has to resist. It's a hindrance. And of course we know where the origin of pride comes from. It is the devil's problem. And so because the devil has a problem with pride, he fell as a result of it. He's going to make sure that you become oppressed by it as well. But praise God, we don't have to be, because we are a new creation now in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, looking at this then, in this world we're called to be lights. I want to look at three areas in this. I want to look at the characteristic in which this light is to manifest, the position, and the nature and purpose. So there are four areas that we're going to look at this evening with regard to us being called to be lights in this world of darkness. And firstly, our position. Well, we know that this light is set upon a hill, as we've already read. It's a lampstand. It tells the world who we are. And that is what the Christian church, the overcomers, are supposed to be telling the world. This light that is supposed to be in the church, this light that is in us, firstly, from a positional point of view, is supposed to tell the world who we are. If this light is shining, we don't have to go around and tell people we are Christian. They will know we are Christian by the light that shines from us. I'm reminded of the disciples that walked with Jesus. They knew that the disciples were with Jesus because they followed him. They were getting like him. And of course this is what happened to Peter on Jesus' betrayal, on the night that he was betrayed. One of the women said, "Oh, you're one of his disciples, you have been with him." And of course he denied it. So this is what it means, that we, the church, is this lampstand set apart for the world to see who we are. Now only you can answer that question. Nobody else can. But if we walk uprightly and humbly before God, then we're going to seek God on that. Lord, do I reflect your light to the world? Do I reflect your light to my husband, my wife, my family, my boss at work, or wherever we should be? And in time, we'll get some feedback as to whether that's happening. Not that we look to that, but if that light is shining through each of us, then you eventually get some feedback, because it will come back to you by the way you're living, by the way you treat your neighbor, your boss at work, or whatever it is. And we know, of course, it's not easy to forgive those that persecute us, that those that come against us. It's not that easy to turn the cheek the other side. But by the grace and mercy of God, we can, if we walk close with the Lord. And this is what speaks to the world. So often what speaks to the world is what we don't say. It's what we're not saying that speaks to the world, because we are people who live it, not just speak it. There are too many speakers in Christendom who are too ready to speak, but not so easy to live it. And that takes the grace and mercy of God. So this lampstand, this light that is in the church, tells the world who we are. It also tells the world what we are. It's supposed to tell the world that I'm not a Methodist, I'm not a Baptist, I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what that light is supposed to represent. It's not a light that represents denominationalism. It's a light that represents a disciple who also walks the way of the cross daily and follows the Lord Jesus Christ. And it tells us where we are today. So this light not only is what we are, but it tells us where we are, what we're doing, that we're walking with the Lord, keeping up with him. All of these areas are so important if the church is to come back to what it should be in the last days. Because I believe strongly the church is being now restored back to apostolic faith and anointing. The church is being restored back to bring us under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not under some man or man-made system. That is why God is pouring out his Spirit in these last days, to bring us back under his headship. And we note that if you read in Ephesians 4, that God is raising again those fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor and teacher, for the perfecting and maturing of the saints and for the ministry and so forth. They are vital for the church in these last days, if she's to be that light. But sadly, a lot of the church today reflects the world's, its goals, its ideas, its political views, its worries, its anxieties, humanitarianism, all of these social needs, which yes, are around, but it's not what the church is to reflect. We are not of this world. We're simply sojourners passing through this world. It would not be blasphemy for you to say, "I am not of this world. My heart is not in this world. My heart is with Jesus. I am seated above by faith now in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is where the church should be. And that is where the church is going to be restored again when Satan is finally cast down and bound into the bottomless pit. When the Lord Jesus comes to rule and reign, that is where the church should be, in heavenly places. She left her position through sin and unbelief. But God is restoring and bringing us back now to these blessings. But sadly, so much of Christendom today is simply reflecting the world, its ideas, its worries, its anxieties, and all the things that go on. And that is not what this light is to reflect to the world. It's to reflect the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who lives in your life in his fullness, reaching out to a dying world. That is what it's to reflect, brothers and sisters. And you and I are the recipients of that. You and I are able to touch with the light that lives in us in this world of darkness, to bring light where there's darkness. You have the ability, you have the potential, you have the power that's given to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. When, oh when, are we going to wake up to this and see what God has given us through Jesus Christ and through his word? You see, sadly, the church doesn't stand as a beacon warning about the rocks and the perils that lie ahead, which is what a beacon or a lighthouse is supposed to do. It's a warning to ships not to come too near. Where is the warning today? Where are the prophets speaking out today as they should be? Instead, she's found in compromise. We live now in a time of the Laodicean. And we know what God says about the Laodicean age. It's neither hot nor cold, and I will spew it out of my mouth. Wish that you were cold instead. It no longer draws people into those safe waters, which a beacon is supposed to do. It is supposed to warn. It's supposed to help us be on our guard against the perils, against the enemy, against those false lights, those angels of lights, and so on. The church seems powerless to be able to discern and test the spirits in 1 John 4 that it says that we should do. But praise God, he is restoring and bringing us back through the baptism and the power of the Holy Spirit. And he has a remnant who want to go on now, who want to go on into maturity, in fullness. Well, secondly, looking at this light, we look now at its nature. And its nature is to banish darkness. That is what this light is to do. This light that is in the church and that light that is in you is to banish or dispel darkness. In other words, divide it. The same idea as when God spoke the word in Genesis. He divided the light against darkness. And so that is the nature of the light that is set in the church. Light in nature will always penetrate the darkness and reveals what there is to be seen. That's its purpose. So penetrating the darkness and bringing light into it exposes what is to be seen, of which can be dealt with, the same as God does this in our own lives. He does this in our hearts, as he's changing these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. He has a way of going deep, and he's exposing those areas of darkness within us so that we can see, and once we start to see, we're then able, by the grace and mercy of God, to repent and get on our knees and seek him and get washed by the blood of the Lamb. That is the mercy and love of God. So when God always exposes the darkness, he will always provide for a covering, because he knows. As we know in the Gospel of John, where it speaks of Jesus as the Word made flesh, it speaks here in Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse 5, speaks of him coming into the world, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So there we are, Jesus was indeed that light unto the world. He exposed that darkness. And by exposing that darkness, it cost him to be, and he was put to the cross. The ones who should have been saved and redeemed, but rejected the gospel, the scribes and the Pharisees and so on, they were the ones that wanted darkness. They didn't want that light. And so they wanted to get rid of that light. And that light was Jesus. But God, that was God's divine plan working through all of that for the salvation of the world. Hallelujah. So the disciples of light, as light, help to disperse. And what do? We help to disperse and expose spiritual darknesses in the world. And we do this by our preaching. We do this by reading the Word of God. We do this in spiritual warfare so that we can begin to come against these spiritual forces and wickedness of which we war against. For the Bible tells us we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities. And it is the church's responsibility. It is your responsibility, brothers and sisters, to start to get into warfare against these. God has given you all authority and power in the name of Jesus. Is the devil on your back? Well, get him off, because God has given you that authority in his name to do so. And yet so many of us still don't do it. We've got to learn spiritual warfare, but the church is sleeping in this. She doesn't want to know, but we are coming forward to the last final battle before the Lord Jesus comes. And we have to be those wise virgins, ready, filled with that anointing oil, to go forth. Because it's not by might, nor by power, it will be by spirit, says the Lord. That is our battle in these last days. And so this spiritual darkness that we see, and it can be in our homes, it can be at work, it can be in politics, it can be everywhere, it can be your neighbor, whatever, where you're finding that something is working to try and destroy, to try and come against the name of Jesus and the work that God is doing. God has given us authority to deal with that, to bind and to loosen this. For what is bound in heaven is loosened on earth, and what is loosened on earth is loosened in heaven. There's so much confusion about this today. But God has given us this authority through our prayers, our intercessions, and through the blood of the Lamb. Do you know demons, Satan, hate the blood of Jesus? They hate it. Because they know they cannot cross the blood line. Many demons, when being cast out of people, will scream out and say, I hate that. Don't say the blood of Jesus. They don't like it. That is how the overcomers are going to overcome in these last days, is by our confession in the blood of the Lamb. That is the atonement. That is what deals with sin, rebellion. Without blood, there's no remission of sin. The covering of the blood of Jesus appeases the wrath of God. But those demons know where they're going. So brothers and sisters, we have to be open to this in our prayers, intercessions, in spiritual warfare. Churches, prayer groups need to start to come into spiritual warfare. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. We've got to move beyond flesh and blood. We've got to move beyond what we see, what we feel, what we think. We have to go into the Spirit. It is only the Holy Spirit who can reveal what we are warring against. And that is why God places the nine gifts of the Spirit into the church, of which are discernment, testing of spirits, and so on. All of that is also very vital. So, let's look at some scriptures just to clarify what we're talking about. For example, in Ephesians 5 verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And then it goes on about how we're seen by that light, by the fruit that we bear, our righteousness, truth, how we're to walk in the light. What does Peter say about this in 1 Peter chapter 2? 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 to 12. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 9 to 12. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I begged you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may be your good works which they observe, glorifying God in the day of visitation. Here again, constantly showing us that we're to walk in this light. And we can only walk in this light by the grace and mercy of God. By the life of Christ that lives in you, by his power, he enables you to be able to walk in this light. You can't do it in your own efforts, your own religious works. Forget it, will never work. It has to be by the Spirit of the living God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. How clear can that be? And if we find ourselves at times going into darkness, then stop. Just be honest with God and tell him, I can go no longer like this. Father, change me, help me. And the Lord will. He will never turn anyone away if you're walking in darkness, but you want to walk in the light. God is merciful and gracious, and he'll move, if need be, heaven and earth to get you to walk like this. But so often we don't ask for the right things. That is a very important thing to ask in our prayers, and the Lord will do it. But you know, the nature of this light is that we may mature, grow up into those sons of God that we're supposed to be in the scriptures, showing the world that God provides, he looks after us, he heals us. We each of us have testimonies of God's faithfulness, blessings, and so on. The world's waiting to hear testimonies like that and to see them. The world doesn't want to see Christians who are negative, confessing like the world, thinking like the world, worried like the world, God saved us above all of that. Now let the Holy Spirit work that in our lives. And thirdly, the purpose of this light. Remember, our teaching tonight is called, in this world we are called to be lights. Well, its purpose, we're already seeing what its purpose is, that we're called to be lights, as Jesus tells us. You see, the world, it's interesting, doesn't read their Bibles, but it will read the church, it will read us. So, you in many ways are reflecting, you are a light living to the example and standard of God's Word. Because they won't read their Bibles, but they will certainly read you. You see, so many Christians live the same level as their neighbor next door. They live like their neighbor maybe next door, or maybe those they work with. They compromise. They don't want to appear to be different. Again, we all at times have problems with this because we don't like to be rejected. Who wants to be rejected? Who wants to be laughed at or jeered? But there will be times that we will be. That is part of our trial. That is part of our persecution. That goes with it. But actually, it's a good sign if that's what they are doing and saying. That is a sign that you walk in the light. But others, there will be some who will believe, who will be influenced. It's very interesting, but no one notices the mud that is on pigs or swines, but they will see the ink spot on a wedding dress, and there is the fundamental difference. So that is how we're to walk, spotless, in this world. You see, most will tell you they aren't interested in church. That's what a lot of the world will say to you out there. And the reason they'll say is because it's filled with a load of hypocrites. I once used to say that years back. It's inconsistent. It doesn't know where it's going. None of them can agree. There's a lot of arguing and bickering goes on. That is why, as I close now, we need to call on God's mercy. We need to start interceding and praying for the true Christian church. I'm talking of those, the called out ones, God's remnant, who are walking in those robes of righteousness. We need to be in prayer for the church that is being persecuted. Some of our brothers and sisters around the world who have to go underground to meet because of persecution. We are so spoiled in the West. There are some, it costs them to go to church, to be identified with an assembly. We need to be in intercession and prayer for God's church now in this last days, and that includes Full Gospel Assembly. That God will enable us to stand, to overcome, to endure, to be that light, that beacon, that we may produce those works of faith. So often churches want to be empowered, but empowerment comes very often in a very practical way, when you are willing to go that extra mile, when it costs you, or you have sacrificed over someone or a situation. Very often our witness in this world is a practical one. We all want to be evangelists. That's not what the church is called. The church is called to be a witness. And we reveal that light that is set in the church. That light will shine. You don't have to advertise it. You don't have to try and work at it. The Christian life is not doing, it's being before God. It's the fullness of the Godhead living in you. He is well able to advertise himself. He's well able to be that light. He's well able to reach out to this dying world without all our feeble efforts. Because it says it's not by might nor by power, it is always by the Spirit of the living God. That is why we decrease, that he increases. You and I, brothers and sisters, we have to get out of the way. We are the hindrance. And let that light begin to shine through each one of us. Heavenly Father, we thank you again tonight. We thank you for your precious word. We thank you that you give us life. You feed us. You help us. You encourage us. You expose, in order that we can go before you and we can pray and intercede and get it right. Father, we thank you that your bride is making herself ready in these last days. And we desire to be part of it. But we know, Lord, that we cannot do it in ourselves. It can only be the Holy Spirit working, empowering us. Help us, Lord, to let go. Help us not to interfere, to get in the way, but just to let you work in and through our lives as we daily consecrate ourselves to you and walk each day by faith. Lord, you are doing this, but we are also aware that we are moving now spiritually into a time of great onslaught and battle. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against those powers and principalities. But you have given us all authority and power in that wonderful name, the name of Jesus. Father, help us to be skillful in our prayers. Help us to war, being led by the Holy Spirit and not by flesh or emotion. For Lord, we are not up against natural forces. We're up against those demonic forces that are trying to hinder, trying to stop each one of us going forward, walking with you, trying to put out that light in your church. Only you can enlighten us. Only you can place that within us, Father, and I ask that you would do this. And so, Lord, I thank you tonight for this meeting. I thank you for all my brothers and sisters who have come into this room, whether it be near or far. Be with them, preserve, bless, keep them. May they ever be washed by the blood of the Lamb. May they walk by...
Jesus is the one, brighter by far than any sun. Who overcame the enemy, who fought and won the victory. And Jesus is his name, all power is given unto him, who has redeemed. She's so-